Well, good morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. I want to continue on this that we started last week out of the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, wherein it says in the 7th verse, remember them who lead you or guide you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's a passage in this epistle to the Hebrews that the Apostle Paul wrote. This wonderful epistle that speaks of Jesus. And in the second chapter, it gives a warning wherein it says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. That picture in the Greek speaks, if I can give you a picture of a snowfall, and it stops snowing, and snow is on the branches of the tree. And as the day warms and the snow melts, begins to melt, all of a sudden it's whoosh, falls out of the tree. I want to speak to you this morning about a particular word in this most wonderful epistle. 14th verse of the second chapter says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, that is Jesus, also took part of the same. This verse is speaking of the incarnation. Wherein Jesus stepped from heaven's throne and became kinned with us. If we go to the 16th verse, it says, verily he took. That's a different word, folks. The word here is epilambano. It says, for truly he took not on angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. This word, being translated took in the 16th verse, has the meaning of reaching down or reaching out and grabbing hold to help. He took on him the seed of Abraham. Now, I'm talking to the church. I'm talking to people who belong to the Lord. I'm talking to people who are the Lord, that is the possession of the Lord. And let's clear it up. Galatians 3:29 says, if ye be Christ's, if you are his possession, then are ye the seed of Abraham and heirs of the promise. He reached out. He grabbed hold with the intent to help the seed of Abraham. I want you to go to your Bibles, to the Gospel of Matthew, the 14th chapter. Stay with me as I'm turning. I'm getting there. Hang in there. 14th chapter. It's a well-known story. The context is Jesus had just healed the multitude and fed 5,000. It says 5,000 men. That doesn't include the women and the children, folks. And the 22nd verse of the 14th chapter says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. This says that Jesus sent the disciples. They were sent. We are sent. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. It's good for us to be alone with our Father. We're never alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch, that is the darkest part of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit, it's a ghost, it's an apparition. And they cried out for fear. They didn't know what it was. Fear of the unknown. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. We've been over that an awful lot of the King James. What it really says is, be of good courage. They were troubled. They didn't know what it was they were seeing. He says, be of good courage. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, that is Jesus, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But, watch this but, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. King James translators, I don't know what the method was. But this is the exact same word in Hebrews 2:16. Epilimbano, reaching out, taking hold with the intent to help. Stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why did you double think? He called him a name, little faith. Circumstance. The disciples were sent. Jesus gave one word, and he said, come. And Peter walked on water. But circumstance. He looked around. He heard the word, he looked around, but circumstance of the wind and the waves made him give more attention to the circumstance than to the word of God. How oft do we, in circumstance, give way to circumstance and not to the Word of God? Let's go to the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. 22nd verse says, and he cometh to Bethsaida. Now, you know, I've been to the Holy Land. Bethsaida, geographically, a beautiful place. But it doesn't exist anymore. Why? Along with Capernaum, those people rejected Jesus. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. And he cursed them. There is no other reason other than the word of God for these developments, these cities, to not exist anymore except that word of God spoken against them. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he, that is Jesus, took, epilemano, take hold of with the intent to help, and he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, wow, he put his hands upon him and asked him if he saw aught, if he saw anything. And the blind man said, and the blind man looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. He didn't have clear sight. And after that, he had put his hands again upon his eyes. He made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Even a better word was brilliantly. We may not see it all clearly as we begin in this faith journey, or as we continue in this faith journey, but as we continue, the picture becomes more brilliant. I want to go to another example in the Gospel of Luke in the 14th chapter. The chapter begins and it says, "And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, they watched him." Who's the they? Well, let's read on. "And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy." This was a helpless, even despicable condition. "And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees," that's the ones that were watching him. I'd take a moment just to speak of the Pharisees. You don't have it in your Bible, but there is a book that was originally in the King James and up into the King James was included in virtually every Bible written out by hand or printed that had the books called Apocrypha. And one of those books was the book of Ecclesiasticus. Let me cut through it. The word Ecclesiasticus can, with context, be understood as the church's book. Ecclesia is the Greek word being translated in the New Testament, church. And when you add the suffix, it means that which belongs to the church or the church's book. This book was written by a father, a son, and a grandson. And what they were attempting to do was to share with the whole world the Word of God. It is a compilation of the Old Testament. It's 50 chapters long. But here's the point I want to make today. It was on their heart. It was in their spirit to share the knowledge of God with the whole world. They were really the first Jewish evangelists, and they were Pharisees. The book was written about 300 years before Christ, and we can watch with our eyes. They started out well, but wound up, by the time Jesus comes on the scene, so wrapped up in religious laws and ceremonies and traditions of men that they could not even recognize the Word of God when he was standing right in front of them. "And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace." And he, that is Jesus, took him, epilimbano, and healed him. Took hold with the intent to help, and he healed them. wonderful Lord we put our trust in. How graceful is he? It is truly amazing grace. I want to go to another passage. Philippians 3. The Apostle Paul, who was stubborn, immovable, irretractable, who persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. I have every confidence that whatever Paul had done in his life, he would have been successful. But Paul, in the 12th verse of this third chapter, says, not as though, speaking of his journey of faith, whom Jesus turned around on the road to Damascus, knocked him off his horse, showed him a light, and called him to teach and to preach the good news of the gospel. And Paul gives this testimony. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. I'm not there yet. I hope all of you have that understanding. You haven't arrived yet. I certainly haven't arrived yet. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. This word, apprehend, being translated apprehended, is a synonym of that word, epilimbano. If it appears you're being overwhelmed by circumstance, if you cannot see your way, if you're helpless or almost despicable in the eyes of men, Jesus took upon himself the seed of Abraham, took, that is, reached out, grabbed hold of, with the intent to help. And if we would but reach out with the hand of faith, with the declaration of the mouth, and make confession of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he will help us. That's the name, Jesus. God, our helper. That 13th chapter makes that declaration. The Lord, our helper. In the book of Isaiah, in the 41st chapter, in the 9th verse, it says, thou whom I have taken if we went, excuse me, to the Septuagint translation, that is the Greek translation done about 200 years before Christ, we would find that exact same word in the Greek that is found in that Philippian verse. Taken hold of with the intent to help. It says, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Cover to cover, God is revealing himself to us. To him be the glory forever. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Tzidkenu is that word being translated righteousness, and it has to do with covenant, and God is a covenant keeper. He does what he says. Yea, I will uphold thee, having grabbed hold of thee with the intent to help, with the right hand of my righteousness. It's a wonderful study. Looking at the right hand of God. I dare say when men greet each other or when men and women come to an agreement, they shake the right hand. Think on that. It goes on to say, behold, all they that were incensed against thee, shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Anybody troubling you? Anybody incensed against you? Oh, Lord. Look down on your children today. And let us grab hold of this promise that they which strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing. And as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. There you go, right hand to right hand. Grabbing hold of with the intent to help. Saying unto thee, like Jesus said, fear not. I will help thee. And that's the God School for today.